Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within you. Bless your holy name. John chapter 1. You know, even Jesus said, in expression, call no man father. For there's only one true father, and that's the one that created us. Amen? I'm not going to get into all of this other religious. But you know, we don't fight flesh and blood. The powers of darkness establish religion. This is not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about relationship. Now the world walks around honoring individuals and call them fathers that are dressed gothic. Hello. Dressed in black, representing death. But they call them fathers. It's disgusting. Because people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In John chapter 1, in verse 6, would you read it with me, please? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the what? Light. He was to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light himself. He was not the creator of light. He was a creation of light. John was. But was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. In other words, we are a light, but we are of the creation. God created me and you in light, but he is the creator. He is light himself. It says that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe or follow his name. Because the word believe means to follow. See, you can say you believe all you want, but in the eyes of God, if you're not following, you are not a believer. And he came to his own. They didn't receive him. In verse 13, and those who believe in his name or follow, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but were born of the God Almighty. They were born of the Spirit of God. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he beheld his glory. And the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This is he of whom I said, he comes after me, is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Again, the light of men is created light. The light of God is creator of light. It says that we, those who receive him, become offsprings of grace. Everyone say offsprings of grace. That's what we're talking about today. Those who received him become offsprings of grace. In other words, grace, so many people misunderstand grace. Grace is not God's unmerited favor. Grace is God's unmerited love. Amen? Now, grace is God's plan. So isn't it great? Now, as the Bible says, you and I have been saved by grace. That means we're cooperating with his plan. In other words, you had to repent for your sins, didn't we? Accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Why? That's a part of grace. That's part of God's plan. It's when we fall from grace, when we fall from God's plan, that we begin to drift away from God Almighty. And then darkness begins to overtake light. So those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior became offsprings of God's plan, his grace. Why? Because you and I are to carry the rest of his plan. Why? Because right now there's a new covenant plan that God has created. It's called a new covenant. The old one has been passed away or fulfilled. So you and I are walking actually in a new covenant that God has established between you personally and him. You personally and him. It's not between a church. It's not between an organization. It's between you personally with him. And the only way that you will fulfill his plan is by maintaining his covenant. And you will also maintain his covenant by fulfilling his plan. It's a new covenant plan of unmerited love, unmerited presence, power, and truth. God so loved us that he gave himself and called him son. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 1, offsprings of grace. In verse 3, in this covenant, you know, in his covenant there are promises. If you've ever received a contract, you might have gone and purchased something and got a loan. Come to find out that you had problems and you were going to be late on your payment. And the next thing you know, they show up at your door possessing, repossessing what you were late on. And you thought that you had a period of grace. And they took your possession because you did not fulfill covenant or maintain it. And you began to read in the small little lines that if you were 3 days late, you lost it. Because most people don't read the small print. Well, in the kingdom of God, we have a covenant. And in that covenant is promises. Is a promise that he gives us. The greatest promise is eternal life. It's called salvation. That means we needed to be salvaged. We needed to be rescued. You know, you hear about people going hunting underwater, digging for treasures, and so they find ships that have been destroyed. What do? They try to raise them or salvage them. In other words, they try to restore them. Well, you and I needed restoration. Amen? Salvation is restoration. But in that salvation, see, that's not the end. This is the beginning. In salvation, there's healing. In salvation, there's prosperity. Yeah. In salvation, there's not only eternal life, but there are benefits right here for me and you. There are promises of covenant that God has established. The problem is most people don't decree them. They don't speak them. The word says something very powerful. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. If God be for me, who can be against me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack or want. He does far above all I could ever ask or think. He says, call me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. He says, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Whoa. Most people don't seek him with all their heart. See, it's what we call a matrix mentality. The matrix is a reality. It is called the kingdom of self. And there's a mentality in the matrix that believers need to shake off, need to get rid of. It's an arena where people give glory to God, but they live for materialism. It's a compromise, truly. The word says this, it says, that not only will many come in my name, but many will be deceived in the latter days. And why is that? He says, because they'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power. They'll deny the power of Christ. That means nothing is impossible to those who believe. The whole thing is the word says we're to stir ourselves up. The word also tells us that anyone who wants to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit must seek and get baptized. I'm not talking about water. I'm talking about the eternal presence of God changing me and you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Why do we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So that we can have power to overcome darkness and be witnesses of the true light and allow the true light to take possession of each temple. But see, there's a matrix mentality where people live for themselves and try to give glory to God. Do you know that even when you give glory to God, are you listening? He doesn't accept it unless he's done it. Are you listening? He does not accept it unless he's done it. Even the word tells us that in the final time of judgment, he's going to take everything that you and I have done and put it through the fire. And whatever was done by him will last. And whatever is not done will burn. Let me tell you, you're going to see a lot of people find that the things that they did were not God. It was all done in vain, and it will burn. The worst thing that can happen to me and you is to be successful in the wrong assignment. See, the world has a standard of success. That's matrix mentality. See, people live in the matrix mentality and have an arena of what should be successful. But God even says what man esteems is an abomination to him. He even said, many are going to come before me and said, Lord, I fed the poor. I cast out devils. I laid hands on the sick. Man, I did all these things for you. He said, go for me. I don't know you. What do you mean you don't know me? You used my gifts. You attempted to bring glory to my name, but you did it in vain because your heart was really not towards me, and you practice lawlessness. Why? Because you approved abortion. You approved same-sex marriage. Why? Because you promote wickedness, because if you approve it, you promote it. You practice lawlessness, and those who practice lawlessness will not enter my kingdom. Does everybody understand that? In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, offsprings of grace. Would you read it with me? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him beforehand, before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This was his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Everyone say, I'm a gatherer. Why, if you're his offspring, then you're called a gatherer also. You're to what? Gather. You're to be the assistants of his gathering. It says in verse 11, in him also we have obtained a what? We have an inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In other words, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We're seated in these places with authority as an offspring of grace. The problem is most people don't know it, and they don't take authority because of a matrix mentality, a carnal mentality. It's called carnal, worldly thinking. Listen, it's almost like people run into doctors. No, I'm not against doctors. Amen? Because God can use anyone, can't he? He can use a heathen. He can use anyone or anything. We get many calls from all kinds of people, all walks of life. And most of the time that we find out, most of them are misdiagnosed. Why? Because the world does not know about demons. They don't know about evil spirits. They have been trained in the matrix. They live by the matrix. They cooperate with the matrix. So they get medication of oppression when it's nothing but a spirit. I've never heard so much bipolar in my life. It's almost like a dessert. I was about bipolar with some nuts on it and call it crazy. Everyone say bipolar. Yeah. See, because the world doesn't know how to deal with spirits, so they make a label up. I think they all just, hold on a second, they all huddle. Yes, we're going to call that one schizophrenia. And then we're just going to give it a bunch of, here, give somebody make up a pill for this. We can make money on that? Great, that's the matrix. Welcome to the realm of deception. That's how it's ruled. That's how it's controlled. Why? Because Satan's kingdom is the unseen realm that rules the matrix. I'm telling you, people got piles of pills. They can build a house with a pill. Pill after pill after pill. And then they go from one doctor to another, and the other doctor's not commuting to this, and people are overdosing. People are dying. Hey, and the number one killer in this world is doctors, besides sin. Hello? Why? Because most of them don't even get it. They get free medication. They get a bonus by making sure you take this certain pill. Hello? What does the word pharmacy mean? It comes from a word pharmakia, which means black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. Well, where did these people learn this stuff? They learned it from fallen angels that taught men how to use herbs. These are from fallen angels. Why? Anything that keeps something away from God. Hello? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling everybody to get off your medication. Hello? But I am telling you, get off your psyche medication. Some of us have heart problems and high blood pressure and whatever, but let me tell you, those are nothing but spirits anyways. When you get rid of the spirit, you get free. You know, when people go to the doctor, what are they looking for? They're looking for something come down the family line. They're looking for the blood. What's in the blood? What is it actually? It's a curse in the blood. Addiction is a curse in the blood. And that is called lust. Why? Because addiction means overwhelming desires. Demons love lust. Why? Because that's how they get fed. They get fed by emotion. The word says God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Spirit of fear, hello? Asthma is from a spirit of fear. The world wants you to become dependent on government. Everybody sees government being corrupt. Our government is lost. Satan's kingdom has already entered the government. It's already done and over with. The only thing that's restraining a full release of evil powers to take over is me and you. The body of Christ and the presence that you and I carry. Other than that, when you and I are out of the way, all hell is going to break out. Amen? We are spiritually blessed in heavenly places as offsprings of grace. We're to live a holy and blameless life in love. Oh, glory. You know, you and I, within us, are the mysteries of God's will. It's already been planted in me and you. In these mysteries that God has in us, me and you, that are to be drawn out. You got to hear. You got to see. You know, he gives one of the greatest, I love the area that it says, desire spiritual gifts. Most people don't desire spiritual gifts. First of all, some of them never heard of them. Desire spiritual gifts. One of the things that we should desire is to speak in the language God gave us. Not your common language, tongues. Why? Because it increases your faith. It stirs you up. It releases the mysteries of God. Boom. Things change. You change. See, when you desire the gifts, God baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. But most people are just content with matrix religiosity. I'm a believer. Well, there's something God says. He says, go lay hands on the sick. Go cast out devils. Why? Because my gospel is true. My gospel is true. He is the living gospel. It's a message of hope. It's the message of goodness. It's the message that Jesus Christ came to deliver, heal, and free people. And you and I are to carry that message. We must bring a self-examination and find out really where are we? Are we caught up? Are we carrying a matrix mentality? Are we compromising? Or are we only being holy on Sunday? I better get my Sunday. Oh, honey, forgive me for everything I did all week long. Lord, forgive me. It's Sunday. I better get things right. I don't want people to know what I'm really like. Well, God already knows. Hello. He already knows. He knows what our thoughts are. He knows what our motives are. We're to be a part of the gathering of the lost. The word L-O-S-T means living outside of salvation's truth. Living outside salvation's truth. Why? Because if you're living outside of salvation's truth, you are lost. Hello? In Psalm 102. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? You want the truth, right? Come on, this is training. This isn't Bible study. Psalm 102, verse 12. Can we read this together, please? But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her. Yes, the time, set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. That's me and you. We are the generation of praise. We are associated with what we call the tribe of Judah, which means praise. Why? Because the king of Judah is returning soon. It says, for he looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven. The Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, and to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, in his praise in Jerusalem. When the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. We are gatherers in Acts chapter 10. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. Is everybody there? Is anybody there? Praise God. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. John preached the baptism of water, remission of sin. And verse 38, and how God anointed, everyone say anointed, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And what did he do? Did he go to McDonald's? No. Did he go build a business? No. What did he do? He went about doing good and healing all. Healing all. Healing all. Healing all. Who were oppressed by their spouse, by their boss, by their neighbor. Not that the devil can't use them, right? But they were oppressed by who? The devil. The kingdom of Satan. The unseen realm that controls and rules the seen realm by deception, the matrix. For God was what? God was what? With him. Jesus was anointed. The word anointing means the anointing is eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. It is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty who was manifested in this realm. What was it for? It was to remove, destroy, and expose the evil presence of darkness. Why? Because it's destroying mankind, God's creation. And we're to be fulfilling the ministry of reconciliation through the gospel of the kingdom of Christ as offsprings of grace. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians 4, offsprings of grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Would you read it with me? Vitally important. Why? Because what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. You speak light, you become light. You speak darkness, you become darkness. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ. Servants, in other words, we serve the anointing. The anointing doesn't serve you. We serve the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. And stewards of the mysteries of God. Why? Because God releases mysteries to me and you. We are ambassadors to the kingdom of God. We are stewards of the mysteries of God, and we are servants to the anointing of God as offsprings of grace. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be find what? Faithful. 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 Faith. Faithful. Full of faith. Amen? Does everybody get it? One's found what? Full of faith. That means that they've severed themselves the matrix mentality. It's amazing how people can slam all kinds of scriptures on Facebook and internet, and they can't even show up for church. Yeah, I got a lot to say. Far be it, I'd be getting in God's presence. And the number one thing that they defile, and the word says, forsake not to assemble. Hello? Boy, but they can throw scriptures all over it on Fleshbook. Hallelujah. No credibility. Does everybody understand it? There's no credibility. If there's no credibility, there's no accountability. Amen? Oh, glory. It just cracks me up sometimes, the deception of the enemy. Would you go to Romans 8? Hallelujah! In verse 12, Romans 8, 12, would you read it with me? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. That's the carnal matrix. The matrix mentality. To live carnally, naturally. And has everybody got it? We are not debtors to live according to the worldly ways. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what? You're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are called what? Sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, which means dad, which means daddy, relationship. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God or what? Offsprings of grace. And if children, then what? Heirs of God. And joint heirs with... Listen, we are joint heirs with Christ. But see, we have a hard time accepting that. Because most people don't even know who they are. And that's where the enemy wants to keep you, in a state of deception. In a state of what? Deception. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be what? glorified together. Look at verse 18. Read it with me. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. It's already in me and you. Oh. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God or the offsprings of grace. Yes. Offsprings of grace. 1 Corinthians 6. See, if the enemy can keep you in a state of deception without you knowing who you are, then you won't know truly the power that you carry, the glory that's in you. He wants to keep us distracted and busy. Why? Because if you notice something, that the kingdom of self is nothing but busy, doing nothing. It's busy about maintaining self. It's busy about beautifying itself. It's all busy. It's busy about fulfilling self. Why? Because it's not getting God's fulfillment. Hallelujah. In verse 15, would you read it with me? Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall then I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. That's where fornication, adultery will separate you from God. Instantly breaks covenant. You are lost. It says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You are what? Not your own. For you were bought at a price. That price was on the cross. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, people don't get married anymore. They just live together. You kidding? That's a commitment. But I'll tell you what, the gays and lesbians are knocking the walls down to get married. They're the ones wanting to get married. But you got men and women that God created that forget the marriage. Why? Because it's all a part of the matrix system. It's a matrix mentality. Again, God did not create Adam and Steve. Amen? He created Adam and Eve to produce offspring. I don't get it. It doesn't mean we hate anyone. Those people are deceived. They have demons in them. That spirit's been in them so long, they begin to look like a guy or a girl, even when they're a girl or a guy, or both. I don't know. I heard something about something. Gender fluid. There was a girl or a guy. I don't even know what it was on TV. It said, I'm gender fluid. I'm thinking, gender fluid? What is it? What you drink that day you're going to become? Whatever I feel like. Well, today I want to be a woman. Tomorrow I'll be a man. Tomorrow we'll be a hybrid. Half and half. Did you ever consider who told them that? Where did that thought come from? Came from fallen angels. Why? Because when they put on flesh, they had intercourse with men, women, and animals. Oh, glory. Matthew 16. Offsprings of grace. Glory, glory, glory. Aren't you glad for this Father Day's message? Hey, it's a message from the Father. Because he loves us so much. Hallelujah. Verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? In other words, what's the matrix say about me? They don't get it. But what do they say anyways? Well, he said, the religious ones, some said that you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said, okay, now, let's get this straight. Who do you personally say that? Who do you think I am? That I've been with you for a while, I've raised the dead, you've seen me do all of these miracles, signs, and wonders. Who do you think I am? Well, nobody really said anything except for Peter. And Simon Peter, in verse 16, answered Jesus. He said, you are the Christ, the living God. You are the eternal presence, power, and truth that came into this realm to set things straight. And Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood or carnal understanding didn't bring you this revelation. But you heard from my Father who told you who I am. you heard from my Father. And he said something very powerful. He says, and you are Peter. He says, and on this revelation, on this rock, on the that you realize that I'm the eternal presence, power, and truth, I'm going to build my church on the anointing. See, people still don't understand. They're still looking at, well, the church is built on Jesus. The church is built on the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, who is called Jesus, because he's the one that brought it in. He's the one that brought it in. The eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. This is not a religious thing. This is a kingdom operation with a... praise God. We have a military operation, don't we? Cool. Oh, glory. And he says something that he goes, look at. Now, I want you to look at this very closely. And I also say that you are Peter, and on the revelation, on the rock, I'm going to build my church in a what? Gates of hell. The gates of hell, those are eternal ports. Where they come through? He said, the gates of hell won't what? Prevail, because I'm going to give you the what? Keys that are going to shut them. Listen, when Jesus says this, look at this. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. In other words, I'm giving you all authority and power. I'm giving it to you. I'm leaving all of my operation for you to finish. I'm giving it all to you. I got you backed. I'm going to go sit next to Dad, and I got you backed. Why? Because we're going to both agree, and you're going to do greater things. And it says something very powerful. And whatever you bind on earth, whatever you do in the natural realm, will be bound in what? Heaven. In other words, I got you backed. Kick butt. Move the powers of darkness. Take dominion. Take back the land that the devil has stolen. Take those, remove those spirits from people that have been oppressed by the devil. Remove those spirits that have been causing people's sickness. Remove those spirits that are causing people's debt and death. Remove those spirits. And I'm with you wherever you go. So when you go to jail today, he's with you. Bind the powers of darkness. Now listen, this I got to go a little bit further on this. Verse 20, look at what happens. Then he commanded his disciples that they should know, not tell anyone he was Jesus the Christ, because he wanted to make sure that he could fulfill what he was sent to do. There'd be too much interference. Of course, he knew they were going to go out and tell everyone anyways. And verse 21, and from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and he's going to raise the third day. Now, Peter, who just got this powerful revelation from the Father, says, man, you're the Christ! You're the eternal presence, power, and truth. You're the one. I don't understand it, but you're the one. Jesus is telling him he's got to suffer and do all kinds of stuff for them. And Peter says, hold on a second. I just said that you are the one. I need to talk to you, Jesus. And he pulls Jesus aside, and Peter took him aside and said, and began to rebuke God. Man, what, you crazy? You ain't going to do this. He began to rebuke the Lord, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. I can't allow this to happen to you. I just got a revelation who you are. I can't let this happen to you. And Jesus turns around and he says to Peter, who Jesus just said, blessed are you, Barjona, Simon Barjona. Blessed are you, Peter, man. You got a revelation. How quick you lost it. How quick you lost it. And he says, so he turns to Peter and he says, Peter, he's looking at him, Satan, get behind me. Counterfeit light, get behind me. Why? You're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God. Why? Because he's only mindful of the matrix, but the things of men. Let me share something with you that happens 99.999%. When you've decided to set your heart towards the things of God and walk in the true light, you can expect the counterfeit light to show up. It will try to move you off course and distract you. It will try to get you to be successful in the wrong assignment than what the true assignment is from the Lord. That's his job, and he does it well. Then Jesus said to his disciples, okay, man, now listen. You saw me just rebuke your brother, Peter. I know he got revelation from my Father, but he's still attached to the matrix. He's going to have to suffer many things for me. In fact, he'll even deny me, what, 3 times. But I'm going to come back and make sure that he gets healed and freed up. And he's going to be a maniac for me. He's going to declare my kingdom. He's going to cast out devils. And I'm going to even heal people through his hands, through his presence, through his shadow, through his words, through everything. I'm going to show great and mighty things through Peter because he's going to have true reality and understanding of who I am. Then he says, but there's something you got to do in verse 24. Then he said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Why? Come out of the kingdom of self, that man matrix mentality, and take up your cross and follow me. Why? Because if you follow me, you're going to do the things that I do. Mark 16. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Mark 16, offsprings of grace. Oh, glory. You know, even the word tells us this devil comes, Satan comes as an angel of light. Even as righteous ministers. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. He said that many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. A doctrine of a demon is one that says you can do anything you want and go to heaven. That's a doctrine of a demon. You can do anything you want and go to heaven. But I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. See, the doctrine of demons and deceiving spirits says you can do anything you want and go to heaven. But the doctrine of Christ says deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow. Why? Because who you serve when you die is where you go. You're either maintaining covenant or you're breaking covenant, one or the other. In Mark 16:16, what does it say? Would you read it with me? I'll start at 15. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes, he who follows, and is baptized in the Holy Spirit will be saved. But he who does not believe or follow will be what? Condemned. And these signs will follow those who follow me, who believe. And in my name, they will what? They will what? Now listen, there's no coincidence that God puts that first. Does everybody get it? There's no coincidence that he puts cast out demons. A demon is a disembodied spirit looking for a body. And he don't care whether you're a believer or not. He's looking for a body. Why? Because he's looking to get fed. They feed on lust. They promote lust. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Hallelujah. Why? Offspring of grace. That's who we are. Non-compromise, non-complacency, standing firm on what God says, not relying on what we see, living from the future, not the past, calling those things that are not as though they are, and standing in the truth of God Almighty. And I want to go to 1 John chapter 5, a couple more scriptures, and you can go home and eat popcorn. And you can tell everybody that you're an offspring of grace. Invite your neighbors to your house. And welcome into the kingdom. Amen? 1 John chapter 5. You know, you can't give what you don't have. Amen? That's why we come to get to give. We come to get to give. Glory. Is everybody there? Verse 4. Would you read it? Oh, verse 4. Yeah. For whatever is born of God overcomes the what? What's the world? The matrix, right? The kingdom of self. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our what? Because we're what? Faithful. Full of faith. Full of faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes and follows Jesus Christ and believes that he is the Son of God? This is he who overcame by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness because the Spirit is what? Truth. Overcome. I want to close at Revelation 3. You know, things are going to begin to get crazy. Much of the world is going to start freaking out soon. Their worlds, their lives are about to get shaken. It's around the corner. Things are going to be happening very soon. In the next few months, you're going to see things change. And then a few months later, after that, change even faster. Again, the Antichrist is here and alive, and so is the false prophet. The foot soldiers of Satan's kingdom, of Muslim kingdom, which are foot soldiers of Satan's kingdom, and the white horsemen, which is associated with false Christianity, which is Catholicism. you will see the false prophet come out of. The European Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, has been reestablished. It's associated with the European Union, the UN, that are false peacekeepers. This country has been sold out already. It's no longer a country. Even the president said we are no longer a Christian company. Of course, coming from a Muslim, of course not. And people still don't see it. I'll tell you one of the things that really hurts my spirit is to see a bumper sticker on one side of a fish in Christianity and on the other side, a one of promoters of Obamanites who promotes religious doctrine of Satan's kingdom, who mocks our king. Those are people that are deceived. They carry a matrix mentality without knowing the truth. And remember, what you approve of, you will also be judged the same way. Amen? In Revelation chapter 3, and to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast in what? Repent. Turn away from them. Come out from among them. Loose yourself from the matrix mentality. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who has not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. It's time to get our garments cleaned. And now the world will try to send them to a dry cleaners. But we must let the Lord refine us and purify us with his blood, with his stripes, and with his sufferings, because we will be persecuted. In verse 5, would you read it with me? And he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Whoa. Mean my name can get blotted out? Yes. But I will confess his name before my Father and before all his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Offsprings of grace. Let's fulfill that call today. Let's shake off the mentality of carnality and matrix thinking. And let's put the Lord before us and his light before us in everything we do. Amen. Let's stand bold. Let's not compromise nor be complacent. But let's stand on the truth and watch the power of God move. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you protect this seed that's been imparted and that it will grow and bear fruit for your glory and take root in each and every one of us, that we may stand strong for your purpose, your will, and your kingdom in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.